The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after hiding a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me tell you, folks, I am living the life. You see, for those of you who don't know, over the past month and for the next 2 weeks, I am in a Village Square theater show called The Newsies. Let me tell you, it's not that I'm in any spectacular role there. I mean, the kids in it are phenomenal. But I am playing Governor Theodore Roosevelt. I know it's before he was president, but let me tell you, folks, it is so much fun. It's a blast. I mean, for one, I get to be in the spotlight. I love the spotlight. In case you can't tell, it's great. Now, granted, I do get to be in the spotlight every single week, but for one, those spotlights are brighter, and up here I have to share it with Tony, and, you know, that can become an issue from time to time. Isn't that right, Tony? You know, it's okay, and that's one reason that I do what I do, but, you know, there are other reasons. I mean, I love being in the spotlight, and people actually clap when I'm done talking there. Never happens. Well, let me rephrase that. It rarely happens in the church. I mean, we'll cheer for the choir sometimes. Oh, little kids, they always clap for little kids. But the pastor, nope, nobody's applauding after that. It's like, oh, we'll think about it in silence. Maybe we'll smile really loudly. He'll know. No applause. But you know what I love the best, though? Seriously, and you probably know this about me by now, I love just dressing up. It's so much fun. I mean, in my office, if you go in there, you're going to find fidget toys because I'm me. And you're going to find all kinds of knickknacks, you know, and crosses and things like that. You're going to find a ton of books because, you know, what pastor doesn't have a ton of books? And you're also going to find boxes like this. Which, I mean, let's be honest, the box in and of itself is pretty awesome. It's a Star Wars box, but inside the box are my costumes. And so I can be Colonel Sanders. I can be a high school kid. Hey. I can be a guy from Duck Dynasty. I can be an old Rastafarian. Or Moses, either way. Let's see. Oh, I can be mentally insane. I can be, you know, somewhat presidential. Oh, I can be a woman. I can just grow facial hair that I never could in real life. And my favorite of all, I can be a good old-fashioned redneck. I mean, I love dressing up, you know? You get to pretend to be someone that you're not. And why do you think people still love Halloween? You know, Oh, sure, you know, when we're kids, we love to dress up, but we also get candy. But as adults, do we not still dress up sometimes? You know, and why? You don't get any candy out of it anymore. We just like dressing up. For one day, we get to be a superhero, or you can be a surgeon. Some people dress up like pastors. I don't know why, but they do. Maybe it's to scare people. That could be it. I mean, you could be whatever you want. You could be a politician for a day. You could be a lady. You could, or a man. You can even be a bag of peanut M&Ms if you want to be. Dressing up and being someone other than who you are is fun from time to time, isn't it? We get to kind of escape and take on the personality of someone else. The problem is, however, that we end up playing dress up in every aspect of our lives a lot of times. We have a home person and a work person and a hobby person and a friend person and a restaurant person. We have all these different personas that we play. You know, we have a face for every place. You know, I mean, we dress a little differently when we're at home or at Walmart, don't we? One and the same, but still. We dress, we don't look like we do when we go to work or when we go to school. We look a little differently than we do when we're on the golf course or at the beach. And we act differently too, right? We act differently around our spouse and our children and our grandparents than we do when our friends or our coworkers or the stranger on the street. We have different faces for different places. And oh, let's not forget, we also have the church person, don't we? Everybody's got the church person. We used to have an outfit to go along with it. Don't you remember when we had Sunday clothes? You didn't wear those clothes any other day of the week, just Sunday. And you better take them off and not get them dirty after church, or you'll wish you hadn't. And so we used to dress totally different at church than we did anywhere else. And we still certainly act differently at church than we do other places, don't we? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, oh, you don't say words like that at church. Oh, you shouldn't lie at church. You shouldn't do it anywhere. But still, we have this churchy person, this personality that just fits our faith. But let me let you in on a little secret, folks. That person, that's who we really are. And all the rest of them is who we try to hide from the world. We're children of God. We're beloved, we're redeemed. We're perfect, just the way God made us. And we try to hide that aspect from everyone else. We try to hide our faith and act as if it really doesn't impact our lives the way that we pretend that it does on Sunday mornings. But here's the reality. Jesus gives us our identity, not only at baptism, but here in this gospel reading that we had today. See, this is from what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, just imagine Jesus not sitting on a high mountain because no one would be able to hear him from a high mountain, basically on a hill with everyone gathered around so that they could see and hear him. And the people that had gathered there, they weren't folks just coming to find out about who Jesus was. These are people that were actually followers of his. And so he begins by telling them that they're blessed in what we know as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then he turns to all of them and says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He says who you are. You're the salt of the earth. You know what that means? It means that you're there for a purpose, to make it better. I mean, that's what salt does, right? You know, salt makes things better. Have you ever had popcorn without salt? You might as well just not even eat. I mean, you know, now some people say the same with watermelon. I would say you do that with watermelon, but the farmer's shaking his head no, so maybe I've been wrong the whole time. But I don't know. But there's salt. It brings out the flavor in things. It's also a preservative, isn't it? It makes things better. It keeps them from going bad. It keeps them from being corrupt. And then Jesus says, though, but if salt has lost its saltiness, or salt has lost its taste, what good is it? Well, now for a long time I thought, well, that doesn't even make sense, because I took chemistry, and salt, sodium chloride, is an element, well, it's a compound. And since matter can neither be created nor destroyed, salt to salt to salt. Once you got salt, you are salt. However, in Jesus' day, where they got salt was from the Dead Sea. So basically, it would be evaporated with all the other stuff, minerals and things from the Dead Sea. But eventually, some of that would wash away, and what you were left with was nothing but the other minerals, i.e. dirt. So what good is the salt once all the salt is gone? It's just dirt. It's worthless, and it's trampled underfoot. And then Jesus says, you're the light of the world. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, some of you may be able to remember this because this used to be a very vast country area, but it's still not in comparison to what we're talking about here. But now it's kind of tough at times to see the stars because we have all of the lights and stuff that coming from the city and things like that. Can you imagine how dark it was in Jesus' day? Pitch black. There were no street lights. There were no house lights. And so the simplest lantern would have shined like there's no tomorrow. It would have completely shattered the darkness. And so all around it would be able to see. And isn't that the point of a light? So that the people can see? So it wouldn't make any sense at all for you to take that light and cover it up. Why would you do that? You know, unless you're trying to read comic books under your covers and don't want your parents to know. But why would you have a light to hide that light? Why would you be salt that's not salty? It just doesn't make sense, does it? It's pretending to be something other than who you really are. Well, folks, it's time that we take off our disguises and realize this. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're here to make this world better, to shine brightly. I mean, at our baptisms, we say, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. When people see the things that you do, they see the light of Christ shining. But here's the thing. As we look at this text, we see, okay, I'm the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. But see, that's not entirely what's being said here. Y'all probably heard me say this before. The Bible should have been written in Southern because we miss things when it's not. Because what this text actually says is, y'all are the salt of the earth. Y'all are the light of the world. And so Jesus wasn't talking to individuals. He was talking to us collectively. He was talking to the church, and therefore the churches. That means that we, as Pisgah Lutheran Church, are called to make this place better. And when I say this place, I don't mean this place. I mean the area around us. We're supposed to be that shining light on a hill so that all can see the light of Christ. We're supposed to be that salt that makes everything better. That's what churches are supposed to be, because that's who we, the people in it, are supposed to be. That's what we do. Because the church is filled with salty people, the church should be salty. Because it is filled with light bearers, it bears light. It completely makes sense. Unless, of course, we're spending most of our time trying to pretend that we're something we're not. And that's what's happening in many, many congregations throughout this country and throughout this world. I mean, congregations are dying at record pace. We're very fortunate here, but many of them are shrinking by the week. And why is that? Well, several reasons, of course. First of all, it starts with members. I wonder where we decided we would have members. I mean, I know that it's important because of record keeping and all that stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm not discouraging people from being members. But the problem is when we have members, we have also people who are not members. We have members who belong, who own, who this is my church. And we have people who were just stopping by. I don't think Jesus thinks of churches like that. Because when we think of it as my place, we're not thinking of it as that light on the hill that's for everybody. The one that shines in the darkness. Because let's be honest, we have a very dark world. People everywhere need that light. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to be that light in this community. We're called to be that salt for those around us. And therefore, that's what we need to start doing. Everything that we do, everything that we say, we need to ask ourselves those questions. Are we being the salt of the earth? Are we being the light to the world? Because that's what we're called to do, because that's who we're created to be. That's who you and I really are. Dear friends, God put us here for a reason. We say it all the time. But that reason is to make the world a better place. And we do that through love. This text goes on to talk about how that if you follow all the command, if you break the commandments and you cause others to do the same, you'll be least in the kingdom of God. Which, incidentally, I want you to notice something. You're still in the kingdom of God. And then he says, but if you don't do better than the scribes and the Pharisees do, then you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. Well, here's the thing that you may not know about scribes and Pharisees. They're the best of the best. They kept all the laws. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't love. They were too busy being someone other than who they were meant to be. They weren't being salt and light. They were just being, well, somebody else. Dear friends, it's time for us to take off our wigs. It's time for us to be who God meant for us to be. The light to this world. The light that shatters the darkness. The one that shows love and grace and mercy to everyone around us. No matter what they look like, no matter how they sound, no matter who they vote for, doesn't matter. None of that does. You and I are salt to the earth. We are light of the world, and that's what we are called to be because that is who we're created to be. So my friends, it's time. Let's take off our wigs. Amen.